Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
We had a wonderful assignment from yesterday.
Yes, remind us.
When we're unable to find tranquility within ourselves, it is useless to seek it elsewhere. It takes practice to see through this bamboozle we call the conditional, in which the con artist has convinced us that one process does or will lead to another. I feel peaceful when I'm in a peaceful place, so I must spend my life finding places where I can feel peace. In fact, what we attend to is what we have. We're either here, which is always peaceful, or we're attending to a conversation and conditioned mind, which is never peaceful. So today, find peace by turning attention away from the voices, turning attention to here, and noticing how tranquility is ours for the receiving.
I love that, ours for the receiving. I don't know why, I just love that. It just so says it. It's all right here for us. But we have to be here to receive it.
Yeah. Well, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hello, Kate.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, I wanted to start by saying how much I've loved this practice every day since the beginning of the year, and each one seems to be so perfectly timed. I just last week had a great, like, this quote today is really helping me because my pet of 20 years died last week. It's just been such an enormous support to have the assignments every day and to realize, like, what a different experience that is when you're present with it. And it's just been painful, but really, really beautiful.
It's kind of everything, isn't it? It is. It's everything. Yeah. I mean, there you had this love for 20 years. You know, a lot of folks never have that.
Yeah.
And yet, it's never enough for us. You know, we happily sign on for another 20 years without a second thought, right? So how to be in that place of receiving it all and not receiving it all, including the pain of the loss, and not let conditioning turn it into something to suffer over.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, even having the pain be really beautiful because it takes such, like, when you love that deeply, it feels like of course you're going to miss it, and it's going to be painful when it's gone.
You wouldn't idealize not feeling any pain, right? I mean, we would worry about ourselves, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we would know there was something really amiss if something like that happened in our lives and we just got up the next day and went on about what we were doing. Think, I'm disconnected here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we do want to be able to love that deeply, to feel that deeply. And part of that is saying yes to the pain.
Yeah.
And as you say, realizing the beauty in that, that it is part and parcel of the love.
And this quote from yesterday, like, finding the tranquility within ourselves was such a great way of looking at that, because I like I've relied heavily on practice and the mentor, and that's been really helpful, but I still have those conditioned moments where I'm seeking externally, and it was really interesting to go through that and see like what you come up against when you share what's going on with other people. And a lot of times what you hear back is how horrible it is what you're going through. And I was just grateful for practice, because that wasn't my experience, that it was horrible at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so grateful all the way through. And I know how much of that is practice and especially having this daily support all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Me too. Because it does keep us here. Right?
Yes.
That's all we need. Right? When we're here, we've got everything we need. Because whatever experience is here for us, it's for us. Right? And we get to be with that, with life unfolding us, right? And so it's everything, and we get to have that everything. We get to experience that.
Yeah.
It sounds so simple, but as we know, it's enormous, right? It's a life work to be. Here, especially in situations that conditioning has been so successful at causing people to suffer over.
Yeah, it was just perfect at this place in practice to have this opportunity to see that in a really different way. And it just feels like every single day, the lesson, like you just get so much out of it, no matter what the content is that you're going through.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Puts us in a place of awe, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
I mean, that's just where we get to is, well, how, and I, you know, have great sympathy and understanding for people who make things up about, to explain all of this, right? Because it just it defies explanation, and we are critters who like to make sense out of things, like to have causes and effects and relationships with this and that, and so that we have a little bit of sense of control about our lives. And to get to that place of, wow, it's miraculous. That's all. We don't know. We're not going to know. It's never going to make sense to us. But if we're here for it, it is truly awe-inspiring.
Yeah. And I feel like I've been walking around for, you know, the whole sort of hospice time and then his death, and even in like the time after, just saying wow and being inspired, and I'm not at all what conditioning expected.
Yeah. Not at all. Yes, not at all. And that's it, Kate. I mean, that's the word, right? It's what conditioning is expecting. That's what we get fooled into living in, what conditioning is expecting. And to realize that has never happened, and it is never going to happen. So if we're here, then it's a constant breath by breath. Yeah?
Yes.
All right. Well,
thank you so much to the
you.
Whole team,
yeah,
and to you,
you
for doing this every day. I'm really grateful.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, Sherry, to me, that was such an example of the tranquility, right? The tranquility is in the acceptance of what the moment is, and there's such beauty and intensity in the moment.
Yes. And it can be anything. It can be anything. The tranquility can hold everything, every kind of human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dana from Alaska.
Oh, hello, Dana.
I did it. I got through on the phone.
Pardon me?
I'm glad I got through on the phone.
Yeah. What's going on? What are you seeing?
Excuse me. Well, I have these visitations of tranquility that come for several days at a time, and they're an incredible gift, obviously, because then when I'm not in them, I know what I'm looking for. And when I'm in them, it feels like it feels like kind of like being in a totally still ocean in the moonlight. And it's not really as heavy as water. I'm just here in the air, but it's very vast like that. It's a very big, a spacious place. And
expansive.
Very expansive, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens while I'm, when I start to notice that I'm there, is that little bubblings of conditioning start to bubble up with it inside the sea, and I watch them, and then because I'm watching them, they tend to just kind of dissipate, and I get to spend some time, several days, just in this state. And one of the things that I love about it is that it's not just, I mean, I spend a lot of time, the rest of the time, just looking towards the gaps in conditioning. And I always go for the gaps because I know the tranquility is through the gaps. But when I'm in this state, it's like the tranquility is the thing, and it's containing the conditioning, and it's a really big lesson for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when you were talking, Dana, I wondered if the if I said this, if you would relate to it, that there are these periods of spaciousness or expansiveness, and you can see what conditioning is relative to that. And each time there's the expansiveness, and then here comes the conditioning. And there's a sense that the conditioning is being, and I don't have a good word for it, but almost folded into the expansiveness.
When it goes
like
back down.
Pardon me?
When it goes back down, when it dissipates.
Yes, well, and that it's being embraced into. So in the beginning, it can feel as if the expansiveness and the conditioning are dualistic. So, you know, there's a point in our lives when there's just conditioning. Let's face it. Unconsciousness reigns, right? And then we start having these glimpses of something else. And so in this conversation, we're just calling that expansiveness. And we realize, ooh, that's better. I like that. That feels better. And pretty soon, we're kind of pursuing it, right? That I want to have that experience. I prefer that experience. And then after a while, we realize that expansiveness is what actually is. And that we leave that in order to focus on the conditional.
Yes. One of the phrases that comes to mind is the ground of being.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when I'm in that state, that's the ground of being, and that the condition is bubbling up It's like new things being born. I think I remember Shogim Trumpa talking about this. And then when they don't really go any further than that original bubbling up, they never really feel like they're separate from the ground of being. They're just like these little bubblings that are happening within the tranquility. And for a while, they just kind of bubble up and bubble back down without even becoming anything separate.
But then
later, when they start to get more active, they start to fracture it.
Well, yes, because it's a kind of a piling on, right?
Uh-huh.
So there's the little bubble, and then the little bubble adds to the little bubble. And now we have two little bubbles, right? And then there's three, and it's getting bigger, and it's getting bigger. But overall, we can see that it's all the ground of being. It's not that there's even a problem with the conditioning, right? It's only if we attach to it. It's only if we get involved with it and make it something other that the suffering comes from it.
Right.
Is that your experience?
Yes, I think so. Definitely. I mean, I'm not sure I would have been able to put it into words at that moment, but that makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the beauty of the tranquility when it visits is that it doesn't, I don't know how to say it, it's like the energy is in a different place, and so it doesn't compel me to identify with the things bubbling up.
Yes, yes. We just had a conversation about that at the monastery 2 or 3 weeks ago, or whenever it was, about the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And how fascinating it is to watch the changes in the energy. So we're talking about it as expansiveness or that tranquility or the bubbling up in it. And what you're noting is the difference in the energy and the feeling of it, right? The feeling of life. Right? And moving between those places, not volitionally, but almost as if we are being moved by that energy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love it. You know, people think that there is nowhere for us to go after we vanquish the evil voices in the head. Right, that then we're just going to, find a beach somewhere and those umbrella drinks and just kind of go into a happy unconsciousness. But there is much to enjoy, isn't there, when there is the tranquility available.
Yes, and when there's the disidentification, there is much to enjoy when there is the action and the energy swirling as well. It's just harder, takes more practice maybe.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you for that.
Sure, thank you. Have a great day. Love you guys.
Too.
Bye.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. That was just wonderful to be... That spiritual, when we get past the beatings, we can actually do spiritual practice in the way you're talking about, right? What lies in consciousness and awareness beyond just those bubbles of ego?
Yes, and not that we want to, get all ambitious about the whole thing, because then that's just going to add to the bubbles. But to realize that it's not what ego would have us believe, that past the world of ego there is nothing. We could say, yes, past the world of ego, there is nothing, but it is a vast, exciting nothing.
Well, I'm going to try to get another caller in, Sherry. Here you go. Next caller,
okay.
You're live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ian calling from Seattle.
Hello, Ian.
Hi, Sherry. Well, pardon my voice. I've been chasing away a cold, but it's given me a chance to kind of slow down, so it's been a gift in a way. Yeah, so I just wanted to let you know I have been doing that assignment you suggested about listening every morning to a recording I made, I think about 3 weeks ago now. And I do that when I wake up, if I wake up early or try to do it before I get out of bed, regardless.
Uh-huh.
And it's quite amazing, quite helpful to do that because I can sort of reset the clock, and I think when I fall asleep, I kind of go into unconsciousness in more ways than one, and waking up, it's like, oh, where was I? It's easy to forget the assignments or things I've been working on, but I have been every day doing the assignments, and they've been wonderful. And
good. So to kind of make sure I'm with you here.
Okay.
So you've made a recording,
right,
that gives you the focus that you want to have as you come into conscious awareness.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, when I wake up, literally when I wake up from a night's sleep. Or if I wake up early, in a spell of insomnia or something, I just pop that in, and apparently my voice is soothing to myself, so I can often fall back to sleep after. Yeah, it's quite wonderful. So,
it is.
Anyway, that's the main thing, I guess. I was just enjoying the call, and I think I just put myself in the queue just to put myself in the queue. I didn't really have anything extra to add to that.
Well, I that's, of course, a really important message for me. I wish everybody on the planet would get that message, would make that recording, would realize what a difference it makes to wake up into something other than karmic conditioning, ego, but to wake up into the life that we choose, what we want to focus on, what's important to us, our intention for our lives. Wake up into that every morning. And then the other thing that you said, to realize that the most soothing thing in the world is your own voice, which is why, of course, every ego in the world, when introduced to recording and listening, starts screaming, "I hate the sound of my own voice," of course, because it is the thing that is truly soothing to the system.
Yeah.
So it's very important to me that put yourself in the queue and said that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And I did notice that early on, my voice, it said, "Oh, this is strange, talking to the recorder and worried about what if somebody hears," and then I was like, "Wow, that's a bit of craziness coming from ego, because we're all just listening to these crazy voices in our heads telling us we're not adequate or not up to the task or hurry up or just no matter what side it is, it's always not quite enough, or it's too much, or you're too relaxed, you're not uptight enough, or you're working out too hard, or you're not working hard enough. So just endless, So to actually stop and listen to that,
to your heart.
Yeah,
listen to intelligence.
And the quote yesterday was very, very nice. I ended up taking a short walk through the park, and there was nobody around. It was just a light rain, and some birds were out. And I had taken, and when I first read the quote, it was place. I took it as a physical or geographic place because right now I'm looking at transition at work, long story, but thinking about, what is it about this I don't get a lot of joy being here anymore, and it used to be fun, and so what is it, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff. But being away from there and in the park seemed like a really nice, peaceful, physical place to be. Mm-hmm. But then when I read the quote again in this assignment, it was like, and listened to it again because I tape record all of them, realized it's not necessarily the physical place. It's you know, in the heart, I suppose, or in the center, that really it's pointing to. I think physical places are really helpful, being out in nature. And, you know, I think that week I spent at the monastery was just quite amazing experience. And I think part of it was the physical setting, but also not necessarily. Where I'm going with this, but it's important. It's easier to practice in a beautiful, supportive environment. And I think that's super, super duper important. And we always need places like that, whether they're parks or monasteries or even cathedrals for that matter, however you define a cathedral. But ultimately it is to be able to kind of build that structure within, I think, and then be able to move into the world, whether it's in busy traffic or at a stressful work site or what have you.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly my experience, that what we're doing is finding what resonates, right? So Ashwini talks about it as calibrating, right? We're calibrating. We're learning to find that. Dana was talking about the energy, finding, you know, recognizing that and then turning attention to it, bringing our attention back to it. So it is very helpful for us to find as many places, in quotes, as we can that bring us here. And as we become more familiar and comfortable, then yes, we can find that in heavy traffic or loud noises or whatever the heck is going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Sandy, wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Continue to take care of yourself. Get.
I will.
Well, of course, you were out walking around in the rain, so I guess you can't be in that bad a shape, right?
I'm not in that bad a shape. Right. Anyway, okay.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay, gotcha.
Thanks, Ian. Sherry, I'm going to try to squeeze another caller in, okay? So here's Megan.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Megan. Hi. Megan from Now, Michigan.
Oh, hello, Megan.
Hi. I wanted to say I've been, I wanted to echo what everybody has said since the inception of Project Joy. I've been able to participate. I have two little ones, so sometimes I'm picking one up from school, and sometimes I've just got the one. And it's around lunchtime out here, but I'm able to be, you know, I get them doing something and then I can just sort of pay attention to the call. And then recently I've been like, you know what, I'm just going to start getting in the queue and we'll just see what happens. And if they need me, then they need me and I can get out of the queue or whatever, you know, or just be in the queue and do this. And you know, and it's going to be all okay. I realized there was a story going on that, you know, that wouldn't be okay. So I'm grateful that I was able to push through that. And also wanted to I was grateful for that reminder again about putting the, you know, or a little reminder on your hand, you know, writing it on there.
Oh, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And yesterday, I wrote peace is here, you know, with a capital H, capital P, capital H on my hand. And because we're in spring break, or there's a break right now, so I have them, and we kind of have some colds. And there was a little bit of a story saying, well, you can't, you know, whatever. It's not that great. And it was like, wait a minute, actually, it is. I can
get that great
piece. That's right. It really is. We can get comfy and cozy or whatever we need to do. And at one point, my daughter, I think she was a little frustrated about something, but she said, what's on your hand, Mom? And I said, well, peace is here, you know, it's just a good reminder for mom. And she thought about it, and then she's like, I'm going to take that. I'm going to rub that off. And she's like, I think I'm just going to take it away, Mom. And I said, oh, you know what's funny about that? You can't.
I determine it.
You know, and it was such a great reminder of that it's true. You know, even if conditioning is trying to say something like that too, you know, because she was frustrated or whatever, but conditioning may try and say that, well, you know, if something's going to happen and I can take away, peace can be taken away. And it's like, nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not true.
Well, a couple of times in that, the realization that conditioning is always, well, no, that's not going to, well, no, you can't. Well, now that, you can't do that because that, so it's always, it's back to that expectation, the predicting the future,
yeah.
You know, well, that's
right.
Going to happen, so this is not going to work now because that's going to, probably not. it'll be fine. We'll be here. It'll be fine.
That's right. Yeah, and it's so much, I really just appreciate, you know, that we keep remembering and we keep the direction of the guidance of just directing the attention, you know, directing the attention back to what we want. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right here. And mm-hmm. It's just, it's beautiful and amazing, and I've had a thought of like, wow, I know I was feeling pretty good, you know, before Project Joy, but I mean, unbelievable. I mean, it's like what was happening to me? What was going on? I think I was practicing. I mean, practice was great before too, but it's like a whole other level with this. So, thank you again, and I know we're at the end of our half hour, so I'm just grateful I got to be on and say hello and thanks to everyone, and so fun.
Yeah, so fun. Good to hear from you.
Yes, thank you.
Stay warm.
Oh, and the last
there.
Thing I should say too is the kids are really even though, you know, my daughter was in that moment frustrated, they're really enjoying recording and listening and doing it with me, and my daughter really is taking it on for herself at night, even before she goes to bed. She's asking for recording and then listening to it, even when she's not up, you know, feeling scared or something like that, because that for a while that was what was helping her, but she calmed down immediately listening to the recorder. Yeah, so I just want to again thank you for that.
Oh,
like that,
that
you know,
is so inspiring.
A huge game changer in a family. Yeah, it is, and it keeps inspiring me too. So, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yes, exactly. All right.
Okay, thank
good.
You.
Well, thank you so
everyone.
Much.
Okay.
Thanks, Megan.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Out of the mouth of babes.
Yeah.
Well, because here's the assignment, and I think Megan's daughter nailed it. Each moment is a place you've never been. Right? Can't ever take away peace. We intuitively know the truth of this quote. Each moment is new. It has to be. It never was before. But it takes practice to be here for each moment because we're trained to have our attention on conditioned mind. Today, spend as many moments as possible in the awareness that this moment is a place you've never been. Adopt beginner's mind, the curiosity of a traveler arriving at a new destination. Practice having a fresh perception. Let yourself be in the moment without letting beliefs and assumptions color your experience. Record and listen.
You know, it's so obvious and so difficult to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Of course this moment has never been. Of course this is brand new. It's so hard to remember, so hard to live that. It's going to be an exciting day. I can feel it already. Ooh, we don't know what it's going to be, but right now it's exciting, so I'm going to go.
Exactly. Thanks, Carrie.
Right.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Go happy.